We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Talking Buffalo, featuring conversations with guests from around the world of sports, media, pop culture, and all things Buffalo, with your host, Patrick Moran.
All right, what is going on, everybody? How you doing? Welcome to what is turned into a middle-of-the-night, literally, episode of Talking Buffalo, your weekday daily driver for Buffalo Sports Talk and More. My name is Patrick Moran. Thank you for watching, for listening, following, subscribing. I appreciate y'all very much. This is going to be an extremely quick episode, maybe one of the quickest episodes that I've ever done. I am reacting quite literally in real time right now to what the Buffalo Bills did tonight, night one of the NFL draft, which I'm sure y'all know by now, was nothing. Nothing in terms of getting a player, at least. The Buffalo Bills traded down not once, but twice. And just going to have a quick episode here. Just a couple quick thoughts about this. I don't want to take up a lot of your time. This is streaming live on the video side, but being this late, don't expect much of a live audience anyway. This is still more for the Friday morning crowd. Going to keep this short because, like I said, I don't want to, you know, by the time you consume this, you're already going to have your mind racing towards night two on Friday night. And also, I want to preface this that some reactions I have right now are probably going to be in the moment, maybe a little bit on the emotional side, overreactions, and maybe after a night's sleep and some reflections, I reserve the right to feel a little bit more calm and different tomorrow. And let me start by saying this too, right off the bat here. I am mad at Brandon Bean right now. Not going to lie. Not going to sit here, not going to lie. I'm pretty angry. If you follow me on Twitter or if you're Facebook friends with me, you've seen a couple posts that I put up. Not happy right now. I'm mad at Brandon Bean, but I'm going to say this too, and I'll reiterate this probably before I sign off here from this episode as well. I'm mad at Brandon Bean, but I also trust him too much to not think that he's got some sort of plan, because you don't trade Stephon Diggs like weeks in the free agency. You lose Gabe Davis. You sign Curtis Samuel. You sign Matt Collins. You're knee deep already in the free agency. And then weeks later, you trade Stephon Diggs. With enough time, plenty of time before the draft, so you know what your plan is going to be going into the draft. You don't trade your number one wide receiver, and then you don't trade out of the first round, not once, but twice without a plan. I feel comfortable, at least I hope I feel comfortable enough in saying that we're not witnessing 2018 all over again, where the Bills, the first year under the McDermott Bean era, the Bills make the playoffs, kind of a fluke, and they gutted that team apart. Financially, they were a disaster, and they got rid of a lot of players, traded picks, acquired draft capital assets. I mean, to some extent, we're seeing that now, but I don't think this is 2018 all over again. So I want to put that out there right at the beginning before I see anything like negative about tonight, because I do have plenty of negative things to say about tonight, but I'm confident that this isn't the Bills because they didn't do anything on night one of the draft. Just saying, you know what? We're in a lot of cap trouble. We already lost a lot of guys. We traded our number one receiver. We're just going to mail it in, and we're just going to try to stockpile as much draft capital as humanly possible and start worrying more about the future and not this season. I don't believe that. I honestly don't believe that that's the case right now with the Buffalo Bills. So I want to put that out there. That said, I'm going to be completely honest with you, man. I sit here, and again, we're approaching 1 a.m. Thursday night into Friday morning, and I'm kind of at a loss for what I just saw over the last four or so hours watching round one of the NFL draft. And before I even get to like how tonight played out, I'll say this too. You know, I just mentioned Stephon Diggs. I've made it a point since the Bills traded him away to not really talk about him too much. At the time, within an hour or so, I thought it was a good trade. I'm like, you got a 2025 second round pick. And coming into this draft tonight, I'm like, the Bills could use that pick and really wield a big weapon that could help them without having to give up a first next year. That could help them climb into the mid, maybe the late teens, early 20s. You can use that pick, or you can use that pick with pick 60 and move way up into the second round. So I've kind of been pro Diggs trade. Plus, I don't think Stephon Diggs is the same player that he was in 2020, 2021, or even 2022. That said, I'm going to be honest with you, at least right now as things stand, for the first time since the Stephon Diggs trade, I'm starting to wonder why they did it this year and not next year. Because if you have Stephon Diggs, let's just say for the sake of discussion right now, the Bills didn't trade Stephon Diggs. Right now, he's still a Buffalo Bill. You don't get that 2025 second rounder next year. My word about next year, and that meant nothing in round one of this draft tonight. If you have Stephon Diggs on this roster right now, and what happened tonight happened, I guarantee you 90% of Bills fans right now have far less anxiety about the position because you got Stephon Diggs, you got Samuel, you got Shakir. In fact, I'd be venturing to say that if the Bills didn't trade Stephon Diggs, despite a lot of people on the wide receiver train, I don't even think it would have been that surprising if the Bills, assuming he made a pick in round one, didn't even go wide receiver, that they went defense or maybe interior offensive lineman. That would have been all that surprising. You come back in round two, hell, maybe even round three, and develop a wide receiver because you still got your number one. But now I'm like, at least for the moment, I got to wonder what the hell is going on here at One Bills Drive. At least in real time right now, that's how I feel. Because the Bills came into this draft, and everybody knows, you don't even got to be a big fan of the Buffalo Bills. Everyone looks at this football team right now and says, this team comes into the draft needing wide receiver. You got two, maybe twos at best when Samuel and Shakir. After that, you got Matt Collins, Justin Shorter. I mean, come on. This team needs wide receivers, right? And they trade back not once, but twice to other teams that come into their spot and take wide receivers. Three of the last four picks of round one were wide receivers, and the Bills took none of them. I'm stunned right now. And again, initially, in the moment, thoughts are, you know, if you would have told me at 7:59 p.m. tonight, a minute before the draft started, you would have said the Bills were going to trade down, whether it was once or twice, but the Bills were going to trade out of the first round. The Bills were not going to make a pick in round one. If you would have told me that a minute before the draft started, I think I would have been cool with it because I would have been all about acquiring some draft capital. But here's the thing. If you told me that before the draft started, I would have assumed that at least five, six, maybe even seven wide receivers went off the board before the Bills were on the clock. You know, the big three, we always knew they were going to be gone. Brian Thomas Jr. thought he'd be gone, and he was gone. But after that, I would have been like, all right, well, Xavier Worthy's probably gone. You know, Xavier Legatt is gone. Maybe Adonai Mitchell's gone. These guys are all gone. And you're like, well, there's not really a guy worth taking, so to speak, in the first round. It drops off after that, so you trade back. If you would have told me that ahead of time, I would have been like, that's cool, man. But that wasn't the case. First off, Worthy was there at pick 28, and then Leggett was there at the end of the first round. Two guys, by the way, the Bills had in for a visit. I think in Leggett's case, he might have had a private workout with him. But these are two guys. The Bills, two things. Number one, the Bills clearly did not covet Xavier Worthy or Xavier Leggett, because if they did, they would have taken him. So I won't say that much about what the Bills did tonight, because they didn't get a ton back. These weren't like major trades. It's not like they dropped back 15 spots and picked up, you know, a second rounder and a third rounder or anything like that. The return was decent, but in some ways minimal. Not enough, I don't think, to make Brandon Bean say, boy, oh boy, man, I really like Xavier Worthy, but you're going to give me a late third rounder? Boy, and I got to give you a late fourth? Can't resist that. I don't think that was the case. So the Bills, they looked at Xavier Worthy, and for whatever reason, they did not want him. Not enough. And then Xavier Leggett at the end of the round, which, by the way, my personal preference, just want to put this out there too. I'm a lot sicker right now as a Bills fan, and that's what I am. I think I'm more sick that the Bills traded the second time. I had doubts about Xavier Worthy myself. Not that I'm any kind of, you know, draft expert or anything like that, or I have any business, you know, making big boards, but I had my doubts about Xavier Worthy. I've talked about it plenty on this show. Elite speed. You know, he could be the next DeSean Jackson, but he could just as easily be the next John Ross or Roscoe Parrish. You know that's not going to happen with the Chiefs, though. Goddamn, that's the other thing, too. And I knew it was going to get criticized on TV right away. So they trade Worthy, the Kansas City Chiefs of all teams. Once again, I get the trading down, but to Kansas City, really? You just know the dude is going to excel in Kansas City. Hollywood Brown, Kelsey, Rasheed Rice will be back at some point. I'm sure he's going to have some suspension. And then you got Xavier Worthy just for that speed. Which, guess what? Get ready to see the Bills' defensive backs, especially with Sean McDermott still the head coach, playing 30 goddamn yards off the line of scrimmage, because now Xavier Worthy's lining up out there, not to mention Hollywood Brown for the Chiefs. So they got their speed back. But again, I had my questions about Worthy. I really wanted Xavier Leggett. I was good with every single thing and the way that things played out in this draft to the very end, and the Bills are on the clock, because I was mad about Worthy for a few minutes. But then I'm like, sweated it out. Who was after that? Baltimore picked after them. And then Frisco. Frisco took Ricky Pearsall, by the way. Slot guy. That was a little bit surprising. But anyway, I'm like, all right, cool. This is going to work out beautiful. The Bills ended up getting a late third round pick, and you're going to get Xavier Leggett. And then they trade with Carolina. Just move back one. And I think they get a early fifth-ish or something like that. But at the end of the day, yeah, the Bills trade down twice. The actual trades themselves, so the Bills traded 28, 133, which is a late fourth, and 248, which who cares, a seventh rounder, man. Come on. To the Chiefs, and they get back 32, which they traded down from that again. 95, which is a very late third rounder, and then 221. Again, don't care about that. And then they trade with Carolina. They give up 32 and a sixth rounder for 33. And one pick 141, which is an early-ish kind of fifth rounder, which, by the way, the Bills now have four picks in the fifth round on Saturday, as things stand right now. But I hate it. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I've talked about mock drafts now for quite a while. I still think that they bring really good value, even if you're never right with predicting them, and nobody's ever right predicting them. I mean, who the hell had Michael Penix Jr. going eighth to Atlanta tonight, right? But the thing about mock drafts that have always brought me value, in fact, I just played a clip on this from my show earlier this week with Greg Thompson, is you learn about positional value. You learn where there's positions where there's more depth, or where there's bigger drop-offs, like, and that's how you kind of get an idea of where players are going to go in the draft, positionally at least. And I think that is accurate. But what mock drafts do is give people a false sense sometimes of what teams specifically like Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett, very much both tied into the Buffalo Bills. And in fairness, you know, when the team brings him in for a top 30 visit, that'll lend some credibility to it. But it's quite obvious now, at the end of the day, the Bills did not have Xavier Worthy, and they did not have Xavier Leggett ranked nearly as high as mock draft experts, draft analysts, former GMs around the league who still do media stuff. And that's pretty obvious. They liked a late third round pick more than they liked Xavier Worthy. That's obvious because that's what they did. And not only did they do that, but they fed a team in the AFC that they perennially are trying to chase and can't get. They helped another team out because obviously they felt that late third round pick was more important than drafting Xavier Worthy. And then with Xavier Leggett, they felt that swapping a fifth for a sixth was not worth, or was worth, trading away and not taking Xavier Leggett. So we're wrong about the players that we thought the Bills were high on, and I'll admit that. But I just sit here right now, and I'm like, what are they doing at wide receiver? I mean, you have to ask that question, because right now, they are very weak at wide receiver. You got an all-world elite quarterback, and you got to be wondering, what in the hell is Brandon Bean doing with this offense? Is this an offense that really is changing? Is Sean McDermott making this an offense that is going to be kind of like Baltimore? Ball control, running the football, having your quarterback be mobile, but not chucking it around. Like, are the days of prime Stephon Diggs and John Brown and Cole Beasley and these guys catching tons of balls, is that going to be a thing in the past? Is this going to be a team that's more worried about time possession and not turning the football over and ground and pound and play tough defense? You have to wonder, at least right now, you wake up today on Friday, you got to be wondering, what is the direction of this offense? Because it just makes no sense, at least on the surface, to need wide receiver and have your a chance to get the fifth one or the sixth one late in the first round, and you pass on it twice. And I'll even go back to Brian Thomas Jr. You know, there's a lot of talk that 17 with Jacksonville would be like the sweet spot to go up and get him. Well, he didn't go to 17. As a matter of fact, ironically, the Jaguars traded down from 17 to 23. And then at pick 23, Jacksonville's on the clock. Brian Thomas Jr. is there, and the Jacksonville Jaguars take him. So, I don't know. You know, Benjamin Albright, a NFL insider that I really do respect, he was on Twitter, in fact, shortly before I hit the stream record button here for this podcast, and he's tweeted out that the Bills didn't love other receivers, but that they did try to trade up and were not successful. I don't know if he's talking about, did the Bills try to go up to pick 9 and get Roma Dunze, or did the Bills try to go up to around pick 23 and get Brian Thomas Jr.? Obviously, that did not work out. So now, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. goes to the Jags, and you want to talk about a team that's trying to get as many weapons around their quarterback as humanly possible with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, they already got the great running back, Travis Etienne. They signed Gabe Davis. They got Christian Kirk. They got Ingram. They got the tight end. And that still didn't stop them from trading down and taking a wide receiver in the first round. Obviously, you wonder how much of a drop-off was there between the first three receivers and then Brian Thomas Jr. But from Brian Thomas Jr. on down, obviously for the Bills, the drop-off was pretty big on Brandon Bean's board. It had to be. It had to be because, again, getting a very late third rounder, is that worth not taking Xavier Worthy if you really liked Xavier Worthy? If he was right there neck and neck with Brian Thomas Jr., are you going to not take him so you could just get a late third round pick? Or Xavier Leggett, which is even worse because you still could add him at the end of the round. And all you did is swap a fifth for a sixth, I believe, to move down one spot. So obviously the Bills and Brandon Bean didn't have them very high on the board. Obviously the drop-off must have been pretty significant. So now the Bills have the first pick for tomorrow. Tomorrow being today for 99% of you who are waking up and listening to this or watching this on Friday. Sure, you know, on social media, it's going to be fun. It's going to make for 12 hours or so of endless speculation of what the Bills can do. It's like having the first pick of the draft, but the first 32 guys are off the board. They also have pick 60, which they've had all along. And now, like I said, they have pick 95, a late third. So as of right now, the Bills are scheduled on Friday night to have three picks, 33, 60, and 95. Saturday, they now also have that pick 128, which is a late fourth. And then in the fifth round, 141, which is pretty early, 144, 160, 163. That is really interesting because I thought the Bills had too many picks coming into this draft. In fact, if anything, I said, I think the Bills are going to trade up a couple times because there's no way they're going to make 10, 11 picks. Now they got more. Now they're higher picks too. Makes you wonder what they're going to do. And maybe at wide receiver, it comes down to this being part of a bigger picture, you know, which can mean like one or two things. One, you know, they knew Kansas City was going to take Xavier Worthy, and they knew that the Carolina Panthers were going to take Xavier Legette, and neither of them were their guy. So you look at the board, and maybe at one Bills drive, the Bills wide receiver board is quite different. You know, maybe a Donnie Mitchell or maybe Lad McConkey was their guy, and they knew that those guys weren't going to go in the first round, despite Adonai Mitchell going in the first round of many mock drafts. Again, mock drafts could serve a purpose, but in terms of being predictive and accurate, not really, not so much. So, you know, maybe that's been their guy. Mitchell's their guy, or McConkey's their guy, and now they picked up extra capital, and they're still going to get them. Again, we don't know what their board is, or two, maybe they don't care about wide receiver in this draft so much, at least at the top of it. And maybe that's because Brandon Bean's got some worked out. Maybe he's got some worked out for a veteran trade. Maybe it's a big one. Who knows? But you see, here's the thing, too, about a veteran trade. It's going to be hard to do because the Bills are in really shitty cap position right now. They got like $3.6 million in cap room. And for people who don't know, when you trade for a veteran, you got to have that cap space at the moment. You can't make an extension and then trade them and lower a cap. You got to have the cap room at the time of the trade. The other thing you could do is get the other team to pay part of the salary. But right now, Deebo Samuel, like $21 million is his cap hit for this year. T. Higgins is over $21 million. Brandon Ayuk is around $14 million. So you're talking like a ton of salary cap gymnastics to financially, you know, make things work. It sounds good in theory. And the Bills certainly have draft capital now, but man, it's just hard. And I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but it's hard to for tonight, at least anyway, this sucked. Thursday night sucked. You got, again, the first pick of round two is good. I get that. That creates a little bit of, you know, that creates a little bit of excitement. I get that. I can understand that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maybe, again, McConkey or Mitchell or Franklin or Keon Coleman, which, by the way, I would hate if the Bills took Keon Coleman to start round two. I said it before the draft. You could convince me almost any wide receiver that the Bills took in round one or now going into round two, because there's still guys there I like that I'd be good with. Obviously, the big three or Worthy or Leggett, Brian Thomas Jr., I would have loved any of them. I also like McConkey. There's things about Mitchell that I like. You might be able to sell me some on Franklin, but Coleman, not early, man. So if the Bills are going to make a pick at 33 and it's a receiver, I really hope that it's McConkey or that it's Mitchell. Johnny Newton's out there. There's only, I think, one defensive tackle that went off the board in the first round. I will be pretty disgusted if the Bills take Johnny Newton. I know he was a first-round talent in a lot of mocks. He went almost all the time in the first round. I ain't trying to get a defensive tackle with the Bills' first pick. I will not like that whatsoever. Cooper DeJean. In fact, I'm stunned that Cooper DeJean, the versatile defensive back who I think is going to play safety in the NFL, I'm kind of stunned that he's on the board right now. And I'll tell you this, if there's one scenario right now where I can look at this team and say, if you don't take a wide receiver at pick 33, I'll be all right with it. If you take Cooper DeJean, that could be your, ultimately at some point, your Micah Hyde of this defense going forward. And then maybe you move up from 60. Goddamn, you got 20 million picks now in this draft on day three, or you still got that number two or two twos for next year. You could get way up from 60. Maybe you take Cooper DeJean at pick 33 to kick off night two, and then maybe you move up and you go get a McConkey or a Mitchell, or maybe even Franklin, because it certainly seems like some of these guys are going to be around into like maybe the early 30s or early 40s. I should say late 30s, early 40s, maybe mid 40s. I don't know. Yeah, maybe they're going to be real active. They got the ammunition. Well, I'm not going to lie, man. I do. I wonder in real time here, and again, I might feel different after relaxing, a good night's sleep, some extent. Brandon Bean's goal, is it to be as competitive as you realistically could be for this year? But it's not really about going all in. It's more about next year. Like next year, the salary cap's going to look great. Next year, you got three picks in the first two rounds. You didn't mess with any of them to move up for this year's draft. So you lost a lot. Man, you lost Boyer and Hyde. You lost Mitch Morse. You lost Gabe Davis. You traded Stephon Diggs. You lost a lot of talent on the team. You lost Leonard Floyd. Yeah, you added a couple bodies, but you didn't really do anything nuts in the draft. You didn't go all in. You didn't even make a pick in the first round. So I just don't get a sense that this team right now feels like they're all in, kind of like I've felt over the past few years. But admittedly, again, I'm real time. Maybe overreacting just a little bit. So the Bills have all day Friday, maybe they're working on a trade. Again, having that first pick of round two and having it all day leading up to 7 p.m. on Friday night, that is big. Maybe they're working out a trade for a veteran player, which again, some salary cap gymnastics need to happen. But it could. It's certainly not impossible. Any receiver whose name is not Justin Jefferson, I think, is possible. And again, to reiterate what I said at the beginning, I'm mad at Brandon Bean right now. I really am. But I do still trust him. I trust him too much to think he doesn't got some kind of plan. I don't think they're punting this year. I don't think they're not trying to take a swing. Don't know what the hell they're doing, though. But again, I don't feel like this is 2018. I'm streaming this live, like I said. I know there's some comments up here, but I'm not going to get to them because I want to keep this short. I do appreciate all the comments, especially if you're up here at 1:15. Trust me, I promise you, I might not put them on screen and get to them today because I want to get out of here in a second. Keep this flowing, but I do want to thank you. The comments mean a lot to me. Appreciate you all being here. Real quick, too, as for the rest of the draft, you know, pretty wild early on anyway. 6 of the first 12 quarterbacks. You know, by the way, as a Bills fan watching the draft, certainly 2 incredibly anxious moments because I was thinking Roma Dunze. So from the time the first pick came out, I'm thinking in my mind, Roma Dunze. And I'm like, certain things got to happen. Like, I knew one tackle would have to go off the board early. I was like, well, there better be at least 2 to really have a chance. My goal as a Bills fan and hoping for Roma Dunze was get to Chicago at 9 and he's still on the board. And that happened. And when Chicago was on the board, man, I was tense. My wife watching with me, she was fired up. She wanted the Bills to go get Roma Dunze. And maybe they tried. Again, Benjamin Albright did say that the Bills tried to trade up. So it had to be for either Odunze or on a lesser level, Brian Thomas Jr. But anyway, didn't happen. That was stressful. That sucked. And then again, when it came to 17 at first and then 23 or anything between that, I was just hoping to see the Bills pop up on the screen at that point because I was about team Brian Thomas Jr. Didn't happen. But anyway, 6 of the first 12 picks, quarterbacks. Michael Penix Jr., there's got to be millions of people who put out a mock draft. And from what I heard, John Jones might have been the only person in the world who actually mocked Penix to Atlanta at 8. I don't understand that at all. Maybe we'll get some clarification on that in the next couple of days. J.J. McCarthy kept talking about Minnesota, kept hearing them trade up to 3 or 4. They stood pat. Actually, he moved up, I think, from 11 to 10 with the Jets. Yeah. But anyway, J.J. McCarthy falls to them right in their lap, basically. Denver takes Knicks in the first round. That was pretty wild. First 14 picks, all offense. That shit was wild. It wasn't until pick 15, Leatu Latu went to the Colts, which, by the way, that started some edge rushers and offenses and defensive linemen, which I loved because I'm like, please, all these good guards, these edge rushers, these defensive tackles, get them off the board because I do not want Brandon Bean to be tempted to take one of them. But as it turns out, I think Brandon Bean, who said before the draft he did not have 28 first-round grades, I believe him because it got to a point, those must have been guys he had first-round grades on and not a lot of wide receivers. In fact, I think it's pretty obvious now, no wide receivers after the first 4 had first-round grades. So he ends up trading down twice. Is what it is. Like I said, there's still, you know, again, 1 round. I said this before the draft, so I don't be a hypocrite. There's tons of good players out there, man. If you're looking at edge, day 2, and now the Bills have 2 picks scheduled instead of 1. My bad. The Bills have 3 picks now instead of 1 on day 2. So day 2 for that part, certainly more interesting. If they want to pick up an edge, Marshawn Nealon is a good player. Adissa Isaac, Chris Braswell from Alabama is a guy. Braylon Troice from Washington is a guy I think they would be a good fit for the Bills at that point. Defensive tackle, Johnny Newton. Talked about him at the top. The only reason why I don't want him is because I don't want nothing to do with taking a defensive tackle at pick 33 first round. So I'll pass on that. But Chris Jenkins from Michigan's a good dude. Ruke Orihoro, I think I'm saying his name right, from Clemson. Michael Hall Jr., somebody who I've mocked to the Bills a few times. He's a guy. Dwayne Carter from Duke. Brandon Fisk from Florida State. If you're talking guard interior offensive lineman, 2 guys who could have been first-round picks. A lot of them were projected to be. Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier. They're both still on the board. Cooper Beebe, who I took in my final mock at round 3 to the Bills. He's there. Christian Hayes is a guy I like a lot. Like I said, receivers we've already talked about with Mitchell McConkey and Coleman and Franklin. But there's other guys, too. Later in the round, or maybe even in round 3, again, you got a lot of picks to move some shit around. Tell you what, you come out with 2 receivers on Friday, maybe Mitchell, or actually even better, in my perfect scenario, give me Lamb McConkey at pick 33 right off the bat. and then come up. Maybe you move up 60, give up some fifths or whatever, get up a few spots. Jalen Polk from Washington would be an outstanding, outstanding fit on this football team, especially with Lamb McConkey. If you walk out here with McConkey and Jalen Polk, all the bitching I've done tonight, I'll throw that shit right in the garbage, I promise you. Javon Baker, another dude. Roman Wilson from Michigan's a guy. Jermaine Burton from Alabama. Des Walker from North Carolina. So there are still, I have to admit, a lot of wide receivers. And again, it's pretty obvious that Brandon Bean did not have Worthy or Leggett ranked much higher than a lot of these guys that I just mentioned. And then I think safety is a need position for the Bills, a good value position in day two. I mentioned Cooper DeJean, the one non-wide receiver I think I'd be good with. Although, as I kind of went over this list, they went on and got Zach Frazier or Jacob Powers Johnson with the first pick of round two, a day one starting guard. I think I'd be pretty fine with that as well. Cameron Kitchens, now that they got a third round pick, boy, oh boy, he's a good one from the University of Miami. He is a Micah Hyde type, a good player. Tyler Newman's a guy. Javon Bullard is a guy. Jaden Hicks, Cole Bishop. Malik Mustafa is a guy we talk about a lot on this show. Lots of good safeties. Nate Wiggins, if you want to go corner, I'm good with that, but I don't start round two off with a corner. But Nate Wiggins and Kool-Aid McKinstry are two dudes who are, pretty highly valued by most as well. So anyway, my whole point was this, man. There are a lot of good players here in round two. So when you get over the sickness, I suppose, of not having Worthy and him going to Kansas City, God, that sucks, man. But anyway, not getting Worthy and not getting Leggett, who was one of my personal favorites. That felt personal, by the way. Not taking him and watching Carolina take him to end the round. God, that just felt personal to me. Brandon Bean had to know that was coming as soon as he made that trade. He knew he was going to lose Leggett. Hell, I knew it too. You did as well. But again, now you got three picks here on Friday night and a lot more possibilities. So it will be interesting. On that note, I'm already staying too long. I said I wanted to be this short episode. Did not happen, but I appreciate you listening to me. You're probably, well, some of you actually are. There's actually 429 people here in the live stream. So I appreciate you all very much. Appreciate everybody who's taken out a half hour or so of their day sometime on Friday to listen to this. I will be back live again after night two, which again, this went from being a potential one pick at 60 round two and round three combined, and that was it, to being a very interesting anything that happened here in night two of the draft. And I'll be back live right after it. Talk to you then. Thank you.